Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Amy Ehlers, and she has a new book out called Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. So good morning to you, Amy.
Good morning. Good morning. And good morning to all your beautiful listeners out there.
Well, Amy, it's a catchy title. I'm thinking it gets people's attention, and that's certainly what you want to have happen. Give us the basic premise of the book.
Well, basically, you know, I've been life coaching now for over a decade, and I've discovered that women in particular, no matter how smart or beautiful or rich or thin they are, on some level they're being way too hard on themselves. And I recognized that it was the voice of the inner critic that was beating us up and beating us down. And I decided to start calling those thoughts, like, I'm not enough, or it's too late for me, or I'm too fat, thin, short, tall, ugly, whatever, you name it. I decided to call them big, fat lies. And so the book has 59 big, fat lies, and every single one of them is followed by a truth, a coaching challenge exercise, an affirmation, and an inspiring quote, so that people can really get out of their inner critic out of the driver's seat and get their inner wisdom into the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm. Now, define inner critic. You've sort of told us what that is, but define inner critic a little more.
Well, you know, the inner critic, or inner mean girl, as we like to call her at Inner Mean Girl Reform School, which I co-founded with Christina Rilo, the inner critic or inner mean girl is that voice inside of you that is the voice that criticizes you, that judges, you know, compares your worst to everyone else's best, and really is putting you down. Her job is to maintain the status quo and have you not go outside of your comfort zones, not risk, not grow. And when she's in the driver's seat, we make all sorts of decisions in our life that lead to a life where we're not feeling fulfillment or meaning.
Mm-hmm. And then kind of the opposite of that is your inner superstar.
Well, I like to call the voice inside of us the inner wisdom. And when we're really living a life led by our inner wisdom, I like to say that our inner superstar, that inner light within us, starts shining really bright. And we have that sensation of being lit up from the inside out.
Okay, before we go back to the book, I have a couple of kind of questions before that. And that you talked about being a life coach. Mm. And I don't know that we have many what we call ourselves life coaches here in our small area. What does a life coach do?
Well, a life coach, the simplest answer I can give to that is, as a life coach, I help people figure out what they want and then get it.
Okay.
So it's really like the simplest answer. But it's almost like having a personal trainer at the gym who, you know, you would obviously hire to help you have your body get fit. It's like having a personal trainer for every area of your life.
Okay.
A life coach is really about helping you uncover your dreams, helping you uncover what will make you fulfilled, and then helping you actually live a life that feels fulfilling and like you're happy to be alive. And, you know, I like to say life coach, success coach. I've been doing it since before it was cool, as my friend Sam likes to say. She's like, you've been doing it a long time,
mm-hmm.
Amy. And now, if you haven't heard the term before, now that you've heard it, you'll start hearing it everywhere because they're becoming increasingly popular.
Okay. Probably some of us think of our mentors or our role models might be serving that purpose, but you've defined it a little broader than that, I think.
And you know, I'll just say one thing about that real quick, if I may.
Sure.
You know, I think that that's right. I think we need mentors, and I think we need role models, absolutely. And the benefit of having an actual life coach and someone that you've hired to really be looking out just for your best interests and your dreams is that, you know, when we have people in our lives that fill that role, it's a two-way conversation often.
Okay.
And with a life coach, it's nice to just have that space in your life that's dedicated just to focusing on you.
Okay. Amy, I want to know about you. You know, you've said, okay, you've been a life coach for over 20 years, but when you were little, when you were growing up, how did you get to here, do you think?
Well, it's so funny you should ask. I was just interviewed the other day by my high school alumni newspaper, and
uh-huh.
We were talking about this extensively. She was like, you know, have you always been this way? Because we were talking about some of my activities in high school and how it matched up with being a life coach in a lot of ways. And I realized that I've always, since I was a little girl, and my sister would definitely agree, as would my parents, that, you know, I've always been a real stand for truth. I was one of those little girls that would stick up for the kid that was, you know, getting beat up on the playground, or, that in the classroom would be the one that told the truth. If the teacher was out of the room, I was always the one that was the truth teller in the room. My parents, you know, much to their dismay when I was in high school, I was one of those kids that would offer up the truth of where I was going instead of maybe fudging a little bit and saying I was going over to a friend's house when I might have been going over to see a boy, just because I couldn't lie. I've always been a big stand for truth. And so I think that that's part of the reason why I ended up writing a book, of course, with the title Big Fat mm-hmm. Lies, mm-hmm. because I am a stand for truth, and I've always been. That's been written all over me since the day I was born.
Okay, so you're just putting all of that to work. Now, you have listed, I think you said 59, I know it's a long list, of kind of divided up by areas. Are there some that you think happen more often than others? And they're all important because they're all here in your book. But are there a couple that you could just mention to us that you talk about in here?
Sure. I think that the first section, which I call the mother load, Big Fat Lies About Your Worth, I think a lot of the ones that I listed, these first 13 big fat lies, really are some of the core ones that as I would drill down with my clients to really uncover what is the core foundational big fat lie that's running the show here, these are a lot of the ones that would come up. And that's why I put them in the section. So big fat lie number one, I am not enough. And also can show up as I'm not good enough, really, really mm-hmm. common.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a total fraud, or you know, I'm an imposter, which I know is very, very common. I'm unlovable. I should have known better. I don't measure up. If it weren't for me, nothing would get done. I'm so ashamed. I'm damaged goods. I don't belong. I am powerless. It's too late for me. When I get blank, then I'll be happy. And then number 13 is self-criticism is effective. It's like that voice inside of us that keeps telling us, oh, no, we've got to be hard on ourselves. It's the only way that we're going to ever get anywhere, mm-hmm. which I know is really, really common, especially for women.
Sure. Yeah. This is what we should be doing to get what we want is
right.
what we tell ourselves. Now, one of them here, it's too late for me. I'm thinking about, you know, as I looked at this, I'm thinking, oh, this is great information for all those young business women out there, young 20s and 30s that are really going places. What about the folks that are 50, 60, 70?
Oh, that's exactly who I read this chapter for.
Okay.
It's too late for me is for the people that are 50, 60, 70. I mean, one of the stories that I talk about in the book is about the story of George Dawson, who learned to read when he was 99 or 98 years old. He decided he was going to finally learn to read, which I think is one of the most inspiring things. On his 100th birthday, he was able to read his birthday cards for the first time in his life.
Amazing.
And if that isn't a story, I get chills when I just think about it, because if that isn't a story that it's about it never being too late, then, you know, I don't know. I've had clients, you know, a lot of my clients are baby boomers. And they come to me for coaching because they're feeling like they have not reached that level of fulfillment and meaning in their life. Oftentimes they've been on a career track that isn't providing for them that heart fulfillment that they yearn for. And so they get afraid. They're like, I'm in my 50s, I'm in my 60s. It's too late for me. I can't start something new. I can't start a new career. I can't do this. And you know what? There's no better time than the present. And I think that it's you know, it can rob us of really living out things. And so I challenge people, if you're believing that it's too late for me, you know, really look at what's the worst thing that could happen if you just go for it. Really, yeah. What is the worst thing that could happen? My mom is such an example of this. When she was in her 50s, she decided to go back and get her master's in psychology. And when I was graduating from college, I went into her college graduation. And it was so inspiring to me. You know, she said to me, she said, I think if I actually went for my hours, she got her master's in psychology and was thinking about going after getting her license. And she's like, I don't know, I feel like I'd probably be 70 years old by the time I could actually start seeing patients on my own. So she ended up deciding that she didn't want to go the route of actually getting all of her hours because she'd rather spend time with her grandkids, which was really what was in her heart. But she never regretted for a moment going back and getting that degree. Okay. I was so incredibly proud of her and so inspired by her.
Yeah, that's a good story. And that's one of the things about most of these. They have stories here, which I think it makes it more interesting and makes it more real when you tell these stories about people that you've worked with. And let's talk just a little bit more about the format. We have just a few seconds left. The truth, the challenge, and the affirmation.
Yeah.
Tell us just a little bit about how that works.
Well, you know, I wanted the book to really be bite-sized. I've been having people, readers, come up to me and say, Amy, I pick up your book every morning and just open it up and say, okay, what does Amy have for me today? And just, you know, get that big fat lie out right then and there. And I that's what I really wanted. I envisioned this being a book that was really palatable and accessible for people. And so it's worked really well to give people, here's the truth, and then, importantly, a tangible tool so that they could make it real in their life. And then the affirmations were so much fun to put together and have really made a difference in my own life personally and in so many of my clients' lives that I really wanted to make sure to include them. And then, of course, there's nothing better than a good, inspiring quote.
That's right. So. Now I'm going to use one here in a moment. Your website, Wake Up Call Coaching. If anybody would like to borrow the book, look at the book for to see if they really want to buy it. They can borrow mine for a little bit as long as they return it. And, of course, you're selling your book and a lot of other things on your website.
Well, and if I may, I actually have a book dedicated just to the a website just dedicated to the book, which is BigFatLiesBook.com. And lies is plural, BigFatLiesBook.com. And you can find out about it. 7 free bonus gifts as
Okay. We've been visiting with Amy Ehlers and about Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. We want to thank you very much, Amy. And until next time, here's a thought. To wish you were someone else is to waste the person you are.